You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, March 18th, the year 2021. And today on our show, pushing the guest segment back a couple days from Tuesday till Thursday, it is Adam Jardy, I believe, with the Columbus Dispatch. Adam, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
I am doing well, Adam, getting ready for the tournament to start tonight and also getting ready for the Buckeye game tomorrow. Before we get to the tournament tonight or even tomorrow's game, after the Big Ten championship game, and actually the tournament as a whole, because the Buckeyes played a whole lot better during that four-game stretch than they had at the end of the season, what were some things that you took away from the championship game, actually the tournament as well?
Well, I took away from it the belief that this is the team that was as good as it was for long stretches of this season, where obviously they went into the tournament with that four-game losing streak, and you wondered like how much of that was the competition they were playing. Like, were they really down, or was it maybe just a function, like I said, of who they had and maybe, you know, Kyle Young's injury in the middle of that. But there was some doubt as far as what the team would look like when it got to Indianapolis. I really thought that if they were able to win the first game, that would set them up for a nice little run, because I thought they just needed a boost of confidence. And I came away from this tournament feeling like Ohio State is very much a Final Four contender and a team that is going to make it interesting no matter what they do, because it doesn't feel like any lead is 100% safe, and it doesn't feel like any deficit is insurmountable. So I feel like I came away from this thinking that Ohio State kind of got its mojo back, and you don't really know what the last minute or two of a game is going to look like when this team's playing.
No, you don't. But one thing we have all grown to see, and we've witnessed his growth over the past month and a half of the season, is the play of Dwayne Washington Jr. I have personally been very critical of him, and on purpose. If I'm critical, I try to be critical, not over the top, but I know he can be a really good player. And I've seen him make big shot after big shot after big shot. It wasn't just the first Michigan game, even latter part of the season and the Big Ten Conference tournament. He showed that you can rely on him to make big shots in key moments during games.
Yeah, I mean, Dwayne had an unbelievable time in Indianapolis. And this was a guy that the last time we saw him in Columbus, when Ohio State closed its four-game regular season losing streak at home to Illinois on Senior Day, Ohio State missed its last 10 shots from the floor. Five of them were Dwayne's. And when the seniors were giving their speeches after the game, he was so emotional, he could barely stomach it. I mean, he kept covering his face with his jersey. When it was over, he just walked straight to the locker room. He couldn't talk. I mean, he had a real emotional embrace with CJ Walker, but otherwise it really bothered him at a high level. And if you go back to on my Buckeye Extra podcast, I talked about it after that game. I said, I felt like Dwayne was set up for a really big Big Ten tournament, because I thought it meant so much to him to make it up to those guys. And what we ended up seeing is he scored, I think, 92 points. It's a Big Ten tournament record. He had 32 points in the championship game, which is a Big Ten tournament record for a title game. He just did everything for them. And every time they needed a big shot, he was there. I mean, by the end of that Illinois game on Sunday, he almost couldn't stand. I mean, that dude played like 146 or 148 minutes in 4 days and just kept producing. And for a guy that just, I mean, he just cares at a really high level. He's a really passionate player. He's one of the favorite guys I've ever gotten to write about. And I just think that now heading into the NCAA tournament, I think that March is built for Dwayne, or maybe I should say Dwayne is built for March. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think the nation is really going to fall in love with Dwayne Washington Jr. and how he plays.
I know with Ohio State, and everybody knows you can rely on, or some fans were very critical of E.J. Liddell and some of the mistakes he made in crucial moments and back-to-back games. But E.J. Liddell is a guy that everybody you go into that game, or Roberts, they're going to be focusing, saying, how do we stop, or how do we control E.J.? How do we limit his production? How do we not let the team feed off of his success down low in the paint, or even if he's outside shooting threes or his mid-range game as well? But it's also a whole lot harder when you have to focus on E.J. and Dwayne, two different skill sets, two different positions. And when you have a guy on the outside, and a guy on the inside, and they can both swap, and Dwayne can drive, EJ can step out and take shots, they're going to be very, very, very hard for anybody to beat.
Yeah, you're right. And it's interesting when you look at Oral Roberts, because they're not blessed with great size. And so when you look at that matchup and you look at what Ohio State might be able to do, you have to like EJ's chances of having a big game. You have to like, you know, the thought that defensively they're not going to – now Oral Roberts can shoot the ball like crazy, but they don't have like that big post presence. Like you look at what EJ Liddell had to go up against in that Big Ten tournament. You know, Minnesota's physicality, Travion Williams and the 7'4" dude at Purdue, and then Hunter Dickinson at Michigan, and then you get Kofi Coburn and Georgie Bishanashvili in the Big Ten title game. Like, that dude had his work cut out for him. And yes, he did have some crucial mistakes in some late game moments, but I thought overall, you know, he's a guy that, you're right, you play around him, you expect that he's going to be the focal point of the other team's game plan. When I was walking to my seat before the Illinois game at Lucas Oil on Sunday, I saw one of the TV cameras. This was maybe 2-3 hours before the game started. But, like, the TV cameras have, like, cheat sheets, like, taped up there so the cameramen know exactly, like, faces and numbers. And it had circled two things on Ohio State's roster. They had circled Kyle Young's picture and had written out. And they had circled EJ Liddell's picture and wrote star. So, that's who EJ Liddell is. That's his importance on this team. It is interesting to think, too, that, I mean, he's only 19.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Hunter Dickinson is a 20-year-old freshman, and EJ Liddell is a 19-year-old sophomore. So, you know, as impressive as EJ has been this year, and I do think he has – I mean, he was first-team All-Big Ten. I voted him first-team All-Big Ten. Like, he's still young. And, boy, you think about the potential for growth there. Like, that's – there's a lot to look forward to with EJ Liddell.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Betting on the Ohio State Buckeyes doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Not just his growth, but throughout the season, I have learned and we have seen the growth of a transfer from Cal to Ohio State in Justice Suing. There are times there are mental lulls, I do believe, that happens during any game. But down the stretch, his offensive rebounding, Adam, has been huge.
Yeah, he's been huge in general. You're absolutely right. And this is a dude that, you know, he'd been dealing with a groin injury down the stretch of the regular season that I think contributed to maybe some of his maybe not just having as big of an impact as he would have liked. You know, for a guy that's been around the block, you know, you'd like him to be playing his best basketball come end of February, early March. And I don't know that we could say that he necessarily was. And then you find out he's been dealing with this groin injury for a little while. They lose to Illinois on Saturday, on senior day, and then he has some procedure on Sunday. They haven't disclosed what it was. But I watched him all throughout the Big Ten tournament then. They kept bringing out what I presume were like hot towels to keep him warm and to try to keep him as loose as they could. I mean, like you mentioned, his offensive rebounding, he had 22 Illinois game. You know, he had the 3-point play to send it to overtime. He just seemed to really embrace the physicality and the challenge that was in front of him. And for a guy that's been dealing with an injury, I thought he was as crucial to what they were doing as just about anybody else, because they haven't gotten that kind of production from him, frankly, like this season. And for him to do it as consistently as he did while also playing as many minutes, I think he played the second. Or no, I take that back. I think EJ was second, and I think he was third in minutes. He played 42 of the 45 minutes in that Big Ten title game against Illinois, which is his fourth game in 4 days, 1 week removed from having some sort of procedure on an injured groin. So, like, that dude has my eternal respect. That took a lot to get through.
Absolutely. One more player I want to hit on really quickly. Also kind of a thing that I know senior day, he did start C.J. Walker, and people were saying, why is C.J. starting in the game? Why is he not coming off the bench? And I'm like, well, it's senior day. You kind of expect it. You kind of expect him to get that recognition. I don't know what you think. I don't mind him coming off the bench in the NCAA tournament, but I know Chris Holtmann has his finger on the pulse of the team, and he knows if he's needed in the starting lineup or not. Do you think we could see CJ start maybe tomorrow, maybe the second game, assuming Ohio State wins? Do you see maybe a game or two where CJ Walker does get inserted back into the starting lineup?
Well, I think one of the things that, and for CJ Walker's eternal credit, you know, he got hurt. He came out of the lineup. They started playing well. He came back and he said, Coach, I don't want to rock the boat. Like, that's fine. Bring me off the bench. Like, that starting lineup has been producing. No need to mess it up on my account. So he came off the bench. He's still playing starters minutes. Justin Arnes' production starts to wane. So the last two games of the season, CJ moves back to the starting lineup. They lose both those games. And so before the Big Ten tournament, he talked to Chris Holtmann and said, Coach, bring me off the bench again. And I don't know how many fifth-year seniors that are out there that are playing in a tournament in their hometown
right
are mature enough to say, I think this is the best move for the team, Coach, let's do this. So he you know, he has that conversation with Chris Holtmann, and he comes off the bench in all those games, and I think it's suited him. He is a guy that, you know, by not playing the first couple of minutes, it avoids him maybe picking up an early foul, because mm-hmm. they really don't have another guy that, I mean, Michi Johnson is a freshman, but, you know, he should still be in high school. So, like, he can come in and give him a minute here, a minute there, maybe a three-pointer here and there. But, like, he's not ready for a full-time role yet. And if CJ gets in foul trouble, it really hampers that backcourt. They just don't have the bodies there. And so, you know, if you can prevent him from picking up a foul in the first 3-4 minutes of the game, and you can still, you know, either have a lead or be, you know, in really good shape, I just think that does a lot of good things for this team. I will be interested, though, with Oral Roberts, because they have the nation's leading scorer, and he's a 6'1", 165 dude. And Chris Holtmann has talked about the need to really get up and guard him and have a lot of bite to their defense and really pressure him. And I don't know that they will do that without CJ in the lineup. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we saw him back in the lineup for this game because of that matchup.
I remember it was a game. I don't know if it was Michigan or it was probably a Michigan game the second time around. No, the first game in the regular season, where their guards, and I think it was maybe Michigan or Iowa, but their guards are meeting Ohio State halfway between the three-point line and the half court. Once Ohio State got on the other side of the half-court line, they're meeting them right there in the middle saying, hey, we want to let you initiate your offense the way you want to. We're going to meet you halfway and kind of dictate this thing around us. I've watched some film on Max, the number three that you just referenced, 6'1", 165-pound guard. He is a shooter. He can get in the paint. He has some ability to get to the hole. But if you could stop him, and I do believe that, I don't know if you play Musa more minutes. I don't know if you put Justice on him, a bigger player. I don't know what Chris Holtmann's going to do. But if you just try different bodies, throw them at him, and maybe meet him before he wants to initiate the offense, that might be a good way for Ohio State to slow down this Oral Roberts offense.
Yeah, that's going to be important. That is something that Chris Holtmann talked about the first interviews that they did, looking ahead to Oral Roberts, talked about the need to pick him up quicker. You know, they need to initiate their ball pressure much quicker than they normally would. So, yeah, I do expect that whoever's on him, you know, they talked about, like, not letting him pull up from, you know, just inside half court. I mean, he will shoot from anywhere.
They're very aware of that.
So, yeah, I do think that you will see a different defensive approach from Ohio State, because they're just going to have to make sure that they're not letting him take three dribbles across half court and then start bombing threes, because he can do that.
He can. What's the status of Kyle Young?
So I don't expect that Kyle will play in this game, and I don't know if he'll play if they advance. I'm not sure if he'll play in the next game. They haven't given a definitive update on him as of, like, midweek. But when he suffered the first concussion, it was in the Michigan game, and he didn't return for a week. The concussion was on a Saturday or Sunday. They played on Thursday. He missed that game. They played on the next Saturday or Sunday, and he did play. So if you factor in, he had the concussion last Friday. If it was the exact same recovery, then the soonest he would play would be Friday. But, we got an update on Tuesday saying that like they don't expect to have an update on him for a little bit. And this is his second concussion in the span of like 2.5 weeks. So they're going to be really cautious with him. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that he gets back for the NCAA tournament because they not only do they need him, but he's just a good dude who plays hard and you like watching him. So like selfishly, I like seeing Kyle Young out there, but you just hope he's okay. I mean, that's a scary thing. And for someone, you know, that young to have two concussions in the span of 3 weeks is concerning. And it's not like he plays a position where he's not going to get banged up all the time. I mean, he's an undersized big banging with guys down low. And so, you know, you it's concerning for sure. And you just hope that he's okay long-term. And then you hope he can get back on the court.
Correct. As I watch this Oral Roberts team play more offense, look to the defense here in a second as we wrap this show up. But as you watch him play offense, and I watched some clips from the Wichita State game, Oklahoma State game, some other games that they have played, they shoot the ball. We mentioned Max and how he'll shoot from just inside half court. They'll shoot the ball. They'll shoot three balls like crazy. I mentioned Musa. I mentioned Justice. But how do you think in other ways maybe that we haven't mentioned Ohio State's attack might be to not let them get comfortable behind that three-point line?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for Ohio State is going to be just making sure that they're applying that ball screen pressure, that they're really getting up into guys. And Chris Holman likes to use the word bite. But he wants his on-ball defenders to have – this is not an Ohio State team that has elite defenders. We've seen that over the course of the season. They can play pretty good team defense connected at that end. Sorry, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry. If they're all connected, then they can play above average defense. It's not an elite defensive team. So that does give you a little bit of concern that they're able to – this is a team that can put five guys on the court that can shoot and they can spread you out. But I think that the lack of size that Oral Roberts has, I think that gives me confidence that, you know, Ohio State can take advantage of those mismatches. And this ends up being a big game for like an EJ Liddell or a Justice Suing. I think Musa obviously could have an important defensive role there. But I just think you need to apply more pressure is just what it comes down to. And we'll see if Ohio State's guards are able to do that. I feel like at times they have been. But that's going to be the biggest thing defensively, just getting up into guys and making sure that you're trying to make them as uncomfortable as you can. And I do think they played pretty good defense in the Big Ten tournament. And I know that the scores got up there a little bit in like one or two of those games. But I think given how Ohio State had played defensively leading into the tournament, I thought this was their best stretch of defensive basketball possibly all season. So that should give Ohio State fans some hope.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that is betonline.ag. Go there on your computer or mobile device and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON, that is LOCKEDON, to receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is coconut almond versus peanut butter brownie. Now, at first glance, I'm going to be all for the peanut butter brownie, but after tasting and seeing how Built Bar utilizes the coconut almond flavor together, combines them, coconut almond ultimately is my choice. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15, LOCKED, the number 1 and the number 5, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. There's simply no better place to get all the news on the Big Ten Conference than with Big Ten Ben Stevens and the Locked On Big Ten Podcast. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, if it's happening in the Big Ten, Ben's got you covered with an in-depth look at the conference every Monday through Friday. Follow the Locked On Big Ten Podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. You keep mentioning the lack of size, and it's very evident. They got a 6'8 guy who averages 18 points a game, 9.5 rebounds. But outside of that, the size is very limited. And this may be one of those games, I'm not sure, but it could be a game where E.J. Liddell goes out a little bit earlier because if he's not needed, say the score is comfortable, you bring in Zed Key a little bit to kind of spell him, to give him a little bit extra rest early. And this could be a time where Zed Key shows his growth throughout the season, and he may be a big piece by scoring down low in the paint, because as good as Oral Roberts is at shooting the basketball, their defense is not that hot, especially down low.
Yeah, and really when you look at their resume, I mean, obviously they have some good numbers, and you can't take away from, you know, when you have the leading scorer in the nation. But they've, I mean, and I know they've played some teams that are well-regarded and played them somewhat close, but, I mean, they don't have a top 100 win this year. I mean, this is a team that I think three of their wins are against non-Division I opponents, and I apologize if I'm low on, it's either three or five, but I don't have their schedule in front of me at the moment. But, I mean, this is a team that, talent-wise, like, Ohio State should just be able to out-talent this team. Now, they'll never tell you that, and obviously they're going to be on upset alert, and we all know that, you know, a 15 seed can beat a 2 seed, and if they get hot, sure, anything can happen. But, yeah, I think Zed could have a big game down low. I think Seth Towns could have an important game for them, especially in the absence of a Kyle Young. I think you see more minutes from Musa Diallo for sure. So, yeah, I think if you're Ohio State and you want to talk about someone that can maybe come out of this with a renewed boost of confidence, you hope it's a Justin Arnes, who is really giving you nothing offensively, you know, in a couple of weeks now. And I think you would like to, you'd like to see that change. And maybe this is the kind of game where that could happen.
Sure hope so, man. It's been fun watching this team play. It's been very exciting. I've been looking forward to the tournament for quite a long time. What are some last comments you have, Adam, about the tournament, about Ohio State's chances of making a deep run, maybe about Oral Roberts just in general as we wrap up today's show?
Well, I felt coming into the season that it was realistic to expect that Ohio State could make a Sweet 16. I thought that was a realistic expectation based on the roster, and just like not really knowing what this team was going to look like. I mean, I helped run a preseason media poll with 28 writers that cover the Big Ten, two from each team. And there was not a single Ohio State player that got one preseason all-conference vote, because that's where we thought Ohio State stood in regards to the rest of the conference. And instead, you have a first-teamer in E.J. Liddell, you have a third-teamer in Dwayne Washington, and you have a team that was flirting with the championship for a little while there. I think that as they head into this NCAA tournament, I think it's reasonable to say that a Final Four is again a possibility. Now, it's going to be entertaining, and it's probably going to be nerve-wracking, and it's going to be, you know, crazy as all get-out, because this team did show that they can beat anybody, but that no lead is 100% safe. But I think that coming out of the regular season, it was fair to say, okay, maybe this team makes a Sweet 16, maybe it doesn't. I think now you look at this team and say it should make a Sweet 16, and it could be knocking on the door to a Final Four. Biggest concern remains the defense and the lack of size. You know, at some point, I feel like that maybe that might create a bit of a ceiling where, like, no matter how good the offense is, I think that's sort of – I've felt all season that those are fatal flaws. And then I watched them beat Michigan on a third game in 3 days and then take Illinois down to the wire like the way that they did. So I'm really confident in this team's grit, in this team's like true desire to play together and to find a way somehow, which is why I think that like you can look at it and say that they might be a prime pick for an upset, but you can also very strongly make a case this team has a really deep run in it. It's going to come down to the defensive end. If they can be connected enough defensively, I think then that obviously helps their chances of advancing past this first weekend, deep into the second weekend, and maybe beyond.
Last question. I know I mentioned that comment earlier. Who do you have in your Final Four? If it's at the top of your head, I didn't lead you up with this previously, but who do you have in your Final Four, and who do you have winning the championship?
I don't know my entire Final Four right now. Okay. I'm still debating that, honestly, but it's hard for me to pick against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to pick against Illinois. And I know that's sort of like those two teams are very trendy picks right now. I've seen a lot of people have the title games being those two teams. I think that's kind of where I am right now. I could see it being a Gonzaga, Illinois type of toss up. I might give Illinois the edge in that one because I think Illinois has been tested more than Gonzaga. But at the same time, Gonzaga's got, you know, three guys in the, you know, that are all American type of guys. I mean, you want to make a list of like the 10 or however many best guys in the country, you're going to have three players from Gonzaga on it. And that's pretty good. So it's hard to, I'm certainly not arguing against anything Gonzaga did. I would love to see a Gonzaga Illinois national championship game. I think it would be fun as heck. But I think, you know, you have to make a Baylor argument and you have to, I think Ohio State is a contender. I think if Alabama gets things rolling in a tournament, I think they're dangerous. That's kind of where I'm kind of all over the place on that, but I just kind of keep coming back to Gonzaga and Illinois as maybe my two favorites.
Yeah, I got Gonzaga, Illinois in my national championship, and I have Gonzaga winning it. And you have two – when you have three guys that are AP first and second team all honors, dude, right. It's kind of hard. And Jalen Suggs, somebody said you could switch Jalen Suggs for first team and take Corey Kispert out, put him on the second team. That just talks about the depth and how good – and when Jalen Suggs is as good as he is, he hasn't – I believe he's a freshman. I mean, it just talks about just the senior leadership – and how Mark Few continues to keep this train rolling and rolling and rolling. Adam, if you could, let people know where they can connect with you via social media and also read some of your articles as well.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Jardy. You can find my work at BuckeyeExtra.com. That's extra with an X. And Dispatch.com. Those are our two websites. All my stuff is on both of those. And you can find my Buckeye Extra podcast. Just search for Buckeye Extra.
Adam, this has been fun. Guys, you guys can always follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. Come back tomorrow. We will continue and prepare for tomorrow's matchup against the Oral Roberts, Golden Eagles.